Hi, and welcome to the 58th episode of the Language Mandarins podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today on the show I have an Italian teacher. Her name is Giulia Zaini. So welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
So where are you based?
I'm based in Berlin, Germany, since the end of 2012.
Oh, okay, and where are you from originally in Italy?
I'm from northeast of Italy. I come from a very small town. It's called Pordenone, 100 kilometers from Venice.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you've been teaching for the last 3 years or so?
Mm-hmm. It's correct, yeah, for the last 3 years.
Oh, okay. What kinds of classes do you teach in general for Italian, like business Italian, conversational, travel?
It's basically conversational. Because most of my students want to travel to Italy sometimes, so that's the main thing that I am asked.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a mix of online, offline students?
Yes. I'd say most of my students are online, but I have pretty many by now in Berlin, yeah. So it's a mixture.
Oh, okay. Where do you have students from online in general?
Online, I'd say that nearly the half of them is from the US, which is pretty interesting to me, but because most of them want to travel to Italy. And I think because it's such a long journey, they feel like they have to prepare themselves more. And the rest of them is from Europe, only a couple from Asia. The rest of them in Berlin are, of course, from Berlin or the neighborhood.
Are you able to convert some of the offline German students to want to take classes online?
Absolutely not. I think that's not possible.
Oh, why not?
Well, many of them really like the in-person type of class, and I think they would never like to exchange to the online class. Especially a couple of them really hate the internet, so I think that is not possible. That would not be possible.
That's interesting to hear that, because I think when I think of some technology and online services, I think, well, I would say the German speakers might be interested in that, but okay.
It's actually not the case. I have came to realize that Germans really prefer to spend their time offline in general. It's more important to them to be with a person in the same room and be able to talk without a screen in between, even though that's maybe against the stereotype of Germans being so expert in technology. I think that's really not the case for them, at least for my students.
Mm-hmm. And what about other cultures? Do you see other European students who are active online, or do you see other European cultures that might be similar to the German speakers?
I actually have the students from Portugal, and they enjoy spending a lot of time online. They look for online resources. They're keen on trying new apps, so that I would definitely say the Portuguese like to do that. Same for the French, same for the Chinese. They also like to do stuff online. I know the Italians do the same, but I don't have Italian students. I just know that from my experience in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you typically do for like your lessons, your planning? It's all... Do you have personalized content that you prepare for the students? Do you like to use different books, resources?
Mm-hmm. So for now, I haven't been using books very much. I use a lot of online resources, especially for grammar. And many of my students enjoy reading the newspaper with me. So I usually send them articles before the class. They usually read it and underline the difficult words or expressions. So we usually, especially with the advanced students, work on a newspaper article, which is also good to have a topic to comment with some of them, but only with people based in Berlin. I watch films. With one student in particular, I'm even studying the Divina Commedia by Dante, which is really, really difficult, but he's a Dante enthusiast, so that's possible. I would say my classes change a lot depending on what the student likes to talk about.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the typical difficulties that students have learning Italian?
I think that depends a lot on their language background, especially for the Americans. I've noticed that if they start learning a new language, in this case Italian, when they're 40 or 50 or even 60, it's a little bit more difficult and tricky to acquire the basic grammar because it's so different from English. Whereas in Europe in general, people tend to know a little bit more languages because we are taught languages in school. So that's easier because any other grammar helps to study grammar more easily. I think that this is a major point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as I've seen, I mean, as an American and going through the education system that we had there and the language requirements, at least when I was in high school, like 20 years ago, it was very minimal. I think 2 years of a foreign language was the requirement. And so for a lot of native speakers, we don't necessarily take the language learning process very seriously in like a long-term project. However, I see definitely a lot of advances in apps and online technology that has really stimulated a lot of people to start learning things like Duolingo, Memrise. There's a lot of language courses out there. So
I think the trend is changing, and in the US, these new apps are converting the language learning process into a game, which is awesome. It should be like a game, and so this is helping a lot.
Yeah, I've also tried to do a little bit of programming myself for one of my websites and trying to turn the grammar or the vocabulary into kind of a gamification process. So it is something like I'm trying to work on as a teacher to bring in the technology as well. What are some of your favorite apps and online resources?
So I think Duolingo is great. Most of my students reach me after having already completed Duolingo. So I have came to realize that it's a good app to begin with. Unfortunately, it's not good for advanced levels, I think, because the vocabulary is not so developed. It's quite limited. So at a certain point, students realize that they need someone to talk to, and they switch to the class. But I think it's a good starting point. And as far as other resources, I work on two different platforms that are Verbling and iTalki, and I think that on both platforms, the articles that teachers write are really good. There are some suggestions on how to start learning a new language, and I think these are personal suggestions that help a lot the student on the approach, because you cannot pick up Chinese and actually do the same if you pick up a European language, for example. So I think that also personal experience support the learning process.
And how has your experience been on those two platforms, Italki, Verbling? How do they compare as a teacher?
So I teach on Verbling since November, and I teach on Italki since May 2013. So I have way more experience on Italki, and for now, I can say I prefer iTalki because it's more structured, in my opinion. But I have the idea that Verbling is also changing a lot and quickly. So I think there will be new functions, and I think it's also growing. It just needs a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. But I would say both are good. iTalki allows teachers to decide in which category they want to teach, either as a community tutor or as a professional teacher, and Verbling does not offer this. And also, maybe a critic to Verbling is that only 60 minutes classes are possible, and I think especially at the beginning, this is too much for beginners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was taking a look at a conversation yesterday in one Facebook group among different teachers, and they were discussing iTalki and Verbling, and they were saying on Verbling there seemed to be like less options, and in some cases, like, one teacher was saying less students, but the loyalty seemed to be a lot longer for those students on Verbling, okay. And that having a lot of options on Italki led to perhaps a lot of competition among different teachers, mm-hmm. and that because the students have such a wide variety of teachers that they can try out lessons with, they seem to kind of channel surf teachers a lot easier. Do you feel that a little bit with your experience?
I can't really say, because I think the number of students I have in both platforms is the same. And I constantly have new students, and on both platforms, actually. I haven't really noticed this. I definitely think there are more teachers on Italki, so the competition is higher. But maybe the number of hours you've already taught is very important, and I've taught many hours on Italki, so it could be that I'm not feeling this competition effect because I have taught many hours. That's possible. But I can't really say. I can't really say, because I haven't talked with many teachers on Italki or Verbling, actually, which is something I should do.
Have you written any articles for Italki?
Yes, unfortunately, it's a sad story. I wrote an article months ago, and it wasn't published yet. I received a nice T-shirt as a small gift to ask for my patience. But I have no idea what's wrong with my article. They say it's good, but it's not published yet. And I actually wrote another one on Verbling, and it also took maybe 2 months. So really, really long. And I don't know why, because they write a lot of advertisements saying, recommending teachers to write articles. I think both platforms should improve on this point.
If I have an opportunity to transmit that message, I will find appropriate channels.
Okay, thanks.
But have you done any guest posting on other people, on other teachers' websites?
I haven't. I have to say that in the past 5 months, I was really focused on studying for the Italian certification, teaching certification I had in March. And so I was just focused on learning and teaching online and offline. So I think everything is starting for me right now.
So yeah, you have a lot of experience with the students and on Italki, and have you also considered creating your own online courses? For example, I don't know, Udemy, Teachable. Have you looked into those platforms?
I haven't, but I know they are there. So I'm considering to do that. I definitely want to have my own website, and I'll need to think a little bit on how to structure it, because I know there are so many ways to present yourself, and I think it's important to be concise and yet straight to the point and say what you can offer. So it will take a little while, but I will figure it out.
Yeah, it's a process that I'm also in my discovery of. I've had a lot of experience offline, at least for business English, at least 11 years. And then more recently, I mean, I've done classes on Skype since about 2009. There were some reasons to adapt, to try to search different markets. And then more recently, I've been going 100% at teaching online since February this year, as I transitioned from an office job to online teaching. And I think from what I've seen from a lot of different teachers, and their advice on these, like, if I could go back in time and what would I have done differently, a couple of teachers have mentioned I would have started working on a course earlier. And I think, as I've seen this, as I've started to get more students and reaching this maybe like 20 hours a week on a few times, and then kind of fluctuating, it does take up a lot of commitment for the preparation and the post class kind of reporting and keeping track of the notes. And to be able to transition or to balance of creating content that could be for a course and managing, making money through teaching for like an hourly basis, I think there is somewhat of a cap on how many hours there are in the day, how many hours there are in the week versus people who are online marketers and bloggers and course creators. They talk about this sudden discovery that, okay, I can make money while I'm sleeping. I can go out to the park and come back, check my email and see there were two or three people who signed up for my course. So that is something that has inspired me to say, I'm only one person. I'm only limited on how many hours I can teach during the day. So I'm really looking forward to developing course content and seeing how I can work on that process, because a lot of course creators, marketers, they've talked about, okay, definitely don't just create something in the vacuum. Connect with the people on your email list, connect with your students, ask them, what are you struggling with? What do you need more practice with? And I've actually seen this with a couple students for English where I said, hey, I have this idea of creating a course. And he said, let me tell you what you need to put in that course. And they'll go through, and I've tried this course, it didn't work, you need to do this. And I've tried this person, they're very famous, they're great at marketing their content, but really their content, they need to do this. So they basically kind of just come at me to say, this is what you need to put in the course. So if you find some, find some enthusiastic really students, they'll almost kind of tell you what you should put in the course. So that's a great collaboration when you can reach out to your students and they reach back to say, we would be interested. We've loved the classes with you so far. So that vote of confidence that you get from the students, it's really a really great process to go from, there's only so many hours you can do in the day. And with the courses, there's a lot of potential with them.
It's true. I think one thing to consider is that there is so much material online already based on grammar, and there are grammar books, excellent grammar books in every bookstore. And I think it's also important to offer new content, which means not grammar, because grammar is not new. You need to come up with good ideas. And I was thinking, for example, of Italian music, because Italian is known for, Italy is known for its music all over the world. And I haven't really found any course on this. And it's one of the things my students love the most, to learn through songs. So that was maybe the first idea. And it's if I start with a course, that would probably be with music.
Nice. Yeah, I like that idea, because I've done music studies, and Italian opera has definitely been like the composers and the quality of the music and the singers. It's definitely something that I associate with Italian culture. And then also, I mean, obviously there's the more recent music as well, but that would be a very fascinating topic, because I do think a lot of students, they do connect with opera, they do connect with the Italian music, and that might be their kind of foot in the door for the language. They like the music, and then they start to get curious about the language. That would be a really cool course idea. I hope you
I'll keep that in mind.
I hope you have an opportunity to develop that. And what I've seen with other course creators, they say like you say, there's a lot of free content that is available online, but really a course should be kind of providing your students like a shortcut. So kind of what are the key elements, or what is like the shortcuts, or as you say, like the creative ideas of how do you present this in a way that other people are not presenting it. So music could be a really cool way to integrate that, because
I'm happy to
the platforms that I've seen, like Teachable, You can include video content, audio content, you can mix and match with text, and you can get a really nice mix of of that. I would probably look into the copyrights of how can you integrate music.
That can be a problem. I need to study the subject.
Yeah, I think you could provide maybe the lyrics is in text, and maybe recommend people take a look at this link off of the course to a YouTube video or something like that, where there isn't a particular conflict of I think that would be something to look into, but it's a really fascinating idea to integrate music in a time. So if people are interested in taking an Italian lesson with you, which I would highly recommend, what is your ID or your teacher number for Italki or your link?
So I need to look for that, but...
teacher ID on Italki is italki.com/teacher/1202830. One more time, that's 1202830. I'll make sure to provide these in the show notes as well.
Okay, great. So let's maybe skip this.
Okay, no problem. I will say this as a voiceover in the editing part. So cool. Okay, you do have availability for more to take on more students, or are you?
Yeah, I do definitely. This will be hopefully my full-time job.
Nice. Okay.
So I'm looking forward to having new students.
Cool. Okay.
Possibly from new countries.
Yeah. There's
But I'm happy that the Americans like my classes, so I don't want to prevent Americans from applying.
Okay. Well, yeah. Encourage people from different countries. I think Italian has a nice appeal. A lot of people identify. Yeah, they recognize the country, and there's a lot of travel opportunities out there. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk with you and to hear about the teaching and the language for how you're working with Italian. So best of luck to you, and hopefully you'll
Thank you for this great opportunity.
Oh, thank you. So we'll be in touch. So take care.
Okay, bye.
And if you would like to take an English lesson with me, or hear more about my language Mandarin, so you can visit my website at hugginsinternational.com. That's HUGGINS international.com. Or you can send me an email at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Looking forward to the next one. Take care.